Well, welcome to the debrief session from day two. We're actually recording this about halfway through day two, so we all may write after this, but we'll count those as next day's word count. With me today are Kitty Nakian and Tori. Dee Dee is still sick, and now Ben has injured himself and got roped into a business meeting, so not only can't he type because he burned his hand, but he's also being held hostage by evil landlords. Ben passed on a report through Tori.
Yeah, so he says that he is currently sitting around the same word limit, but is thinking of different ways to go. He seems like he's really tortured about it, which is good. I think that's good for me. Every time he talks about it, he's like, I just don't know. And I'm like, good. I think that's a good place to be. So at least from where I stand, because I'm like, oh, thank God. Somebody else is like tortured about it, too, because I'm stressed. Stressed, y'all.
All right. Kitty, you have a report from Dee Dee.
It turned out that her migraine yesterday was actually the flu. And so she's been kind of knocked out and was barely coherent enough to text me and say, I haven't written. I'll be in tomorrow.
Oh.
Email me some soup.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, you had that moose and barley soup you've been offering to everyone, no matter where on the internet they are.
Yeah.
All right. Well, how about you two? What have you accomplished today?
I got about 350 new words today.
Hey.
And I actually have a character.
Two major milestones. You upped your word count and you got a character.
Yeah.
Do you have a title yet?
No.
Okay. How about you, Tori?
So, I upped my word count from zero, yes, zero, to about 1150 today.
Excellent!
Which is great, considering I worked for, like, 5 hours on other stuff, and then worked for a little bit on this, and I kind of said to myself, you know, it's okay if you don't quite know what you're doing, let's do an outline, which I did, and then let's write a scene, one scene. And let's see how you feel about that. And so I did that, and I kind of feel like it's working.
Excellent.
Which is exciting. I mean, I don't know if it's any good or not, but we'll see.
Doesn't matter.
Exactly. It sounds fine to me. So.
That's fantastic. I spent the morning cooking donuts and dealing with the aftermath of the long power outage and cutting the episode from last night. So I got down and sit down at my writing desk, and I was like, I'm tired. And I went to bed and took a nap.
Good.
So I actually just woke up about 2.5 hours ago and finally got to the keyboard. And you're going to love this bit of news. I have scored a total of 1,136 words today. So you actually beat me.
Yay! I don't know how that happened. I just consider, like, half of it bullshit, but I just, like, did
a
total free writing thing.
And beautiful.
So, I even turned my font.
To Comic Sans?
Not to Comic Sans, but I turned it, like, white so that I couldn't see it because I'm writing on somebody else's keyboard, and so it's, like, really tough for me to be, like, oh, I feel like my mom when I'm writing. Thanks, Mom. Love you. But I feel like my mom is like, I love you, and blah, blah, blah. But it's just like, I need to not do that and just come back and edit it later. Mm-hmm. So, because it's such a different keyboard that I'm used to.
So, but is it actually screwing up your,
it's totally
your sense
screwing
of connection
it up
with the...
Yeah, I'm waiting for Black Friday when I can buy a good keyboard.
Good ergonomic keyboard.
Like, you know, not ergonomic. No, not that. But just like a new computer that is like $300 cheaper than what I'm used to. So. I think I've hit a sort of a stride, which is nice for me because I've never really hit that before other than writing with data, which is a different stride, which is a very stressful stride. This was sort of like a fun stride that I hit.
Fantastic.
And I was like, I got a little emotional because I was like, oh, let me make this fun. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh no, I could make this real emotional. And then I dipped into that. And so
excellent. Oh, when you open a vein is when it all works.
Yeah,
oh,
I was like wonderful. Totally not wanting to do it, but then I decided to just let it flow.
Oh, and that's so fantastic.
It doesn't make any sense. I need to edit, but also obviously, yeah. It happened. It
excellent.
Feels good.
Well, you know, I say I wrote 350 new words, mm-hmm. and I'm almost thinking that where I started today is a better beginning, and I might axe the first 220 yeah. words I did yesterday.
Yeah, you do that after,
but I'm not going to do
after
that.
NaNoWriMo, so you get
the yeah,
right, get the word count.
Yep. Now I started today. I was hoping that I would sleep and I would get back into the story. And my sleep didn't happen this time, so I woke up and read through. And so about a third of the new words were in expanding what I'd already written, and then the rest was a new scene at the end. But boy, this is turning into a really f***ed up book, which
ooh,
is
yes.
interesting territory for the genre.
Oh, but, yeah.
I do have a title. It's called The Wolf of Venus. Hopefully, it winds up being a title I keep, but we'll find out. So, yeah.
So I'm just looking at your screen right now. Mm-hmm. I know nobody else can see this, but it's like fascinating to me. So I see a lot of dialogue. And so yeah. how I'm just, for me, a new fiction writer,
mm-hmm.
dialogue.
Yeah.
That is such a scary thing. Like I can write, and the house was blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. But like in terms of writing dialogue, how do you make it dynamic? How do you feel like you can make it a little more dynamic than normal?
Well, it's... Well, I can tell you the unhelpful answer, which is that I wrote screenplays for a while. And those okay. are all dialogue. But the way I figured out how to approach those at the very beginning was I gave everybody a different accent. Because every accent doesn't just have different speech rhythms, they've got different slang, they've got different sort of priorities in how they construct their sentence. Like, say, the difference between Atlanta and Alabama. In Alabama, it's not just that the slang is subtly different. That really doesn't come across on the page much, but the attitude does. The Alabama attitude, especially around Mobile, you get that... The lead with the bluster first, mm-hmm. right? There's the burnishment of the self-image comes at the beginning of the sentence, where in Atlanta it's a little more passive-aggressive, right? So the burnishment of the self-image comes between the sentences. And so I started just writing stereotypes like that. And after a couple of pages, the character would say enough that they would take on their own identity in my head and the stereotype would give way to the real character.
Okay, and so... do you think it would be helpful for somebody to sort of make voice memos for that? So
yeah.
I'm finding, because I'm like, everybody's talking about Southern Gothic, whatever.
Oh, I love Southern Gothic. It's my favorite genre.
And I'm just like, if I can just get on the phone with my mom for about 30 minutes, I can get into that point. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of feel it when mm-hmm. I'm reading something or thinking about something, I'm like, oh, wow, it does give this little, just the accent alone gives this mm-hmm. little bit of, like, I hate to say a twang, but it gives this, like,
it gives it a
life
texture. Yeah.
to it. Yeah. And so I'm like, is it helpful for people maybe to sort of do voice memos to where they can say, oh, I'm that, mm-hmm. I am that person who
yeah,
I'm
for
trying
sure. to well, yeah, and you can totally just steal from people. Mm-hmm. Like, there's one book I have where every single character is basically a romantic life of a friend of mine. And so they all talk like those friends. And just to mix it up a little bit, I kind of swapped their voices around a little bit, but I actually had a cheat sheet next to my computer monitor. This character is this person, this character is this person, for how they spoke. And so I just stole their speech rhythms from real life. And I've occasionally done that with bit characters in movies that I just really like the way they talk. And then the other thing with dialogue is like, have you ever done drama in high school or anything?
Never. In my mirror, yes.
No, there you
I
go.
Have.
So one of the things in drama when you're just trying to figure out how to, like, do a little scene and whatnot, or if you're doing improv, attitude is about 90% of it. Mm-hmm. And you use the attitude to sort of find your way through. Well, in any given scene, person A is going to have X attitude, person Y is going to have Y attitude. Like, in this scene right here, I've got the main character has tried to keep a couple of rough customers out of a restaurant because they're not welcome. And he's with two girls who have both picked him up and they're competing for his attention. And one of them is trying to support him, and then he gets burned, and so he gets burned with an acid attack. It's on Venus, so if you're outside, you've got acid on your clothes. So one of the guys bumps him, and he doesn't have a protective shirt on, so he gets burned. And so the other one is, her basic attitude is a little more, oh my god, you're burned, you know. And so they're competing for his attention by having different attitudes. You know, those different approaches to what's going on bring the dynamic to the scene. Mm-hmm. And that's helping me discover what their basic underlying personalities are like. So in the next scene, it's not just the attitude, it's the attitude as expressed by this underlying personality whose chief concern generally in social interactions is X. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Like, my main character, he's really concerned with looking good. So... he has his attitude in the scene, but then underneath he's like really insecure and wants to make sure that people like him.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, the one thing that I've sort of noticed as I've started writing and just throughout my life is that I will sort of act out these scenes, which I was always like, this is not going to work, blah, blah, blah. I'm just, maybe I should just be an actress. I don't know. But I, as I'm writing these things, I have to act them out mm-hmm. in the way that they are, with every part me acting them out. And so it's like I have so many different...
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's just like it's a weird time. Like, my boyfriend comes in, he's like, I don't know what's going on, but I accept it, and which is why I love
I'm listening to the voices in my head.
Just let me be me. I'm listening to the voices. And he's like, yeah, whatever, cool. That's why he's amazing. But I think that helps me to sort of feel it out in terms of like how I would think I would accept somebody who's thinking those things. So
excellent.
That's how I've been
really
doing
good.
Things.
Yeah, and that's a really good way to do it.
I need a place where I don't have anybody around me. Otherwise, they're going to think I'm crazy. So. Which is fine, but like...
Well, they might like you for the crazy.
Nothing wrong with crazy. Yeah. We're all a little bit on there.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
A little bit. Yeah,
we all a lot of it. Yeah.
We watched the Psycho movies this month.
This is so good.
I'm so jealous you're writing Southern Gothic. I love Southern Gothic.
I don't know. I feel like it's...
He's got a Southern Gothic novel that he's started several times several years ago, like almost decades ago.
I had to finish that this year.
And...
it intimidates me.
I just feel like, you always hear people go into these, like, Salem, which is, like, pretty crazy, things that happen there, but, like, you know, and all these other places, and I'm like, just go down south. There's a lot of shit going down there, and it's just so thick with all different, and this is coming from an anthropologist. Like, I sound really, like, formal right here, but, it just is pretty crazy, the stuff that has gone on.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I love all of the intricacies and the, I hate to say it, the horrors that have gone on. You know, we kind of have to bring them into light to make them real, which is important, because they should be real, which they were.
Horror is part of the human condition.
Yeah. I mean, people are ultimately... wonderful and both terrible at the same time. So I think...
And usually the same person.
Yeah, and usually the same person. Absolutely. So I think it's one of those things where I'm just so interested in writing about that in terms of being from South Carolina and, like, knowing all of that kind of stuff. And
my deep and abiding interest in cults and serial killers, which shows up through all my fiction, comes from growing up in San Francisco in the early 80s.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
Right in the shadow of Jamestown and Zodiac and Ramirez and the two what's-her-noses who would kidnap people from San Francisco and imprison them up in the hills. Chu and Ng, Charles Ng, and...
Who else?
I can never remember I can't remember his partner's name, but Charles Ng and his partner.
Horrifying.
Yep. But that was all through, you know, it was all through the culture.
I just got Ted Bundy and Green River.
Yeah, well, let's see what...
no big deal.
I knew people who had lived with Manson when he was in Berkeley. The Synanon cult was just winding down, and Scientology was huge up there for a while before they got a really good purchase in LA. So it was all through the air, and you know, any really interesting place has got that shit going on.
Yeah, and as I come at this from, like, an anthropological perspective, it's, like, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
But horrible.
Yes. It's
like, well, I mean, I study in Mexico, and so, like, a lot of the things we think of, like, it, you have to think of it culturally back at the time, and we just can't do that, which is probably good. That means that we're, you know, trying not to do the things that were happening in the past, but... You know, you have to allow for a little bit of...
Yeah, see, I'm totally on the outside. I do look at it all culturally. It's why I have trouble getting invested in politics, because I look at it as an ecological thing.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a cultural ecology thing rather than really a political thing. So it drives my my super political friends crazy. They're, why won't you pick a side? Well, because history is so much more interesting.
I don't know. Yeah, I think, yeah, I can always pick a side, but it's always with a lot of, like, hurt on my counter, like, a lot of thought on things. So it's, yeah, it's not easy when you come at it from different angles, so.
True, true. How about you? What, anything new in your process that you've uncovered?
Being able to write a character, it has actually been kind of a milestone for me, because every time I write this great opening scene, this really atmospheric thing happening, and I observe the character doing things, and then it comes time for the character to actually do things, and I'm like, well, what are we doing? You're a person, why do I care? And then the next milestone will be actually having the character interact with other characters. Or I could just leave my character alone on this island and do, you know, Island of the Blue Dolphins kind of... She interacting with the dolphins and the little foxes and the whale bones and screw all other people. I could do that, but...
There's a trick I used when I was starting to have trouble. Because when I started out with books, I had high concept stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And when high concept is where you can, like, state the premise in one sentence, and then everything is just kind of a knock-on effect of the premise. And I got to a point where that wasn't doing it, because I couldn't come up with high concepts that were interesting enough to me. So I had a couple left, and I realized I'm going to have to find a new way to open stories. My problem was setting up good stakes. Once I figured that out, I did a pair of novellas right next to each other where I basically stated the stakes outright in the open in the first sentence. And then the whole rest of the story was paying off that sentence. I bring that up because if you wind up backed into a corner where you're like, what the hell is my character doing? And you can't figure out how to move the story, feel free just to say out loud in the text, if she didn't find food soon, she would die. Or whatever it is.
Right.
Give her a problem and let her solve it. Or let her utterly fail to solve it in an interesting fashion. It's amazing. You don't, from this side of the keyboard, you don't think a reader will accept that. But of course, as audience members, we do all the time. We love it when we know what's going on.
This kind of reminds me of, you know, when you're learning to write creatively in, like, elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell you what a story comprises of. It's like a characters and a problem and a resolution of the problem. And I think somewhere in, like, my mother's boxes of my old stuff, there is a little flip book of a story I wrote where I actually wrote something like, this character was doing this and she had a problem. And that was how I started the story, because that's mm-hmm. what they told you stories were. Even though I had read hundreds and hundreds of stories by that time and watched and heard hundreds more, he learned this formula and you do it.
That's really good to hear, actually. Like, you both saying that, because as I was, the only thing that helped me today was to think, what problems have I myself dealt with? And how can I sort of circumvent this to be upon my protagonist? And that really helped me to make her real and a real person and an emotional person. So that hearing y'all say that makes me feel good. So cool. Like, good. Cause I was like getting emotional thinking about it. And I was like, this is stupid. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's not stupid because it's real and people can actually connect with this thing, which is what I always like when I'm reading anything. I want to connect with it. We all want to connect with something. Mm-hmm. Or totally get away with it, but we still want that little bit of connection with some part of it. So
yeah,
that's what I was searching for, and I think that's sort of what I found in a cool. sad Excellent. Way. I cried a little bit today. It's fine.
That's not a bad thing. I have been known to write scenes and just weep through them because they strike some chord. I'm not really even sure what they're striking, but it's resonating. So it's not always sad, but you weep when you uncover yeah. something deep and you don't even know what it is sometimes.
Yeah, I remember the time that I came home from work and you had written the coffee service. And you told me after I had read it that as he was writing it, he was terrified and horrified because he didn't know what was coming, and it scared the shit out of him.
Well, it was better than that because when you came home, I was sitting there like, you guys can't see this at home, but I was sitting on the couch with my face slack and I was bleached white. And I'm a pale guy, but I'm not that pale. And Kitty comes in. She's like, hi, how are you? What's wrong? And I handed the manuscript to her. I said, read. That was all I said.
That's it. That's all it took.
And she got done and she's like, are you okay?
That's it.
That was the first time I ever had that experience of opening a vein in the middle of a story.
All right. My new goal has been set. Right. Well, Kitty's then. Like, I got you.
Well, then, I suppose we should wrap this up because we've been going for quite a while here.
True.
This was fun.
Yeah.
Aha. All right. Well, good luck tomorrow, guys, and we'll be back here to expose ourselves to you all in a fairly indecent fashion tomorrow.
Woohoo!
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.
Support this podcast and keep us going. Go to everydaynovelist.com/support to join up.